cradio.org.au, praying that God may bless you today through the airwaves.
A Holy Thursday Reflection with Father Anthony Bernard. And when the hour came, he sat at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I shall not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a chalice, and when he had given thanks, he said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I shall not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the chalice after supper, saying, This chalice which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on this table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to question one another, which of them it was that would do this.
To understand what Jesus is doing as a Christian, unless you understand Jewish culture and Jewish history, you don't understand Jesus, what he did, and what he's given us on the day. Every time a Jew celebrates Passover, the Passover in Jewish celebrations is, and this is not going to be adequate the way I'm going to describe it, but they believe that they are made present at the time of the Passover when they were liberated from Egypt. In saying that, they believe that God is going to liberate them now in the current situation, whatever it may be, and for the future generations. It's like a past, present, future made present in one moment. And that's what Jesus did the night before he died. And what is the Passover? The Passover is when, understanding that the Jewish people, called the Israelites, were in Egypt for 400 years. And in those 400 years, they increased their population and they were oppressed. And they were oppressed and used as slaves. And they just became cheap labour for the Egyptians. Now, obviously, God had a plan. Moses, who was supposed to be killed as a firstborn, he was saved and he was put down the river. And the Pharaoh's wife found this child, raised the child up, and he was considered royalty. And then when Moses came to see his true identity and see how his people were oppressed, and then he saw how one of his own people were being almost beaten, he reacted very angrily and killed one of the Egyptian soldiers. And that came out in the open. He knew his life was in danger. He left Egypt. He went to the wilderness. And that's when he had the God experience of the burning bush. And God was saying to Moses, look, I hear the cry of my people in Egypt, and I'm going to send you to bring those people out. And you're going to be a messenger to Pharaoh to take these people. And Moses was kind of scared, and he said, I can't talk. And his brother Aaron was going to be his voice, and they both went. And he told the Pharaoh, look, God wants my people to go and worship him in the desert, and you have to give them permission to leave. And Pharaoh said, no way, that's not going to happen. You know, I don't believe in you, your God, that's not going to happen. And so Moses said, well, there's going to be plagues until you change your mind. And Pharaoh became very hard-hearted and became more angry and didn't want to let the people go. So there's 9 plagues, and the last plague, which really came out of Pharaoh's mouth, because Pharaoh was so angry at Moses that he said, if I ever see you again, you're going to be killed in my presence. Moses is a firstborn male. God said to Moses to tell Pharaoh that every firstborn male will be killed. Now, in saying that, that includes every generation, every race. But the only way, if a family wants to protect their own, they have to do this ritual. And this is the ritual God explained. It's called the Passover meal. The ritual is you get a lamb, an unblemished lamb. You kill the lamb. The blood of that lamb has to be poured over the doorposts. It's significant, the blood, the lamb, the doorposts. The lamb is eaten. There's unleavened bread that's eaten. Now, whoever did not do that that night, when the angel passed over each family, if they did not have the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and they did not eat the lamb, then they would not have been saved. Their firstborn male would not be saved, and so the death would occur. That was the Passover meal. What happened the next day is that everyone woke up and there's a lot of mourning and crying and screaming. The Pharaoh's son died, and the Pharaoh's so angry, he said, "Get the people out of me, let them go." And they grabbed a lot of wealth, and they walked to the desert. And they came to the Red Sea. The Pharaoh let them go. Then he came to his senses and said, "What am I doing? You know, these people are my slaves. I need them. I can't run the, you know, run the country." And then he tried to go back and to bring the people back. And as he did that, that's the story of the Red Sea parting. When Moses brought the people over the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's men were killed. That in itself was a final liberation and deliverance of slavery. So the Passover meal and the escape. So Jesus is celebrating this Passover meal. He uses the word new covenant. He's showing us a new Passover. He becomes a new Passover. John the Baptist, when Jesus was being baptized, uses the word, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world." John the Baptist knew and understood that Jesus is going to be the Lamb of God that's going to be killed for the sacrificial Passover. And so Jesus here becomes the new Passover, and he becomes the lamb that's going to be sacrificed. And he does something beautiful before he dies. And he takes bread and he takes wine, and he says the word, "This is my body," and the wine, he says, "This is my blood." So he's transforming the old Passover, where we used to take lamb and eat lamb. He's making the emphasis now, the bread's going to be the flesh that we eat, and the wine is the blood we drink. He prepared them to understand this in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, when he talks about bread of life, a manna from heaven. Then he says, "I'm the true bread from heaven, and unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have eternal life." So that's why the disciples left Jesus, because they said, "Well, this is going against Jewish law. We can't accept this, and we're not going to believe it." And so he put this very hard teaching to help prepare the minds of the apostles of this understanding, eating flesh and drinking blood. And then he uses the same words the night before he dies. And this is profoundly beautiful, because this becomes the core and the beginnings of how we understand or what we celebrate Mass. So every time we celebrate Mass, we're celebrating a Passover meal that Jesus celebrated the night before he died. And Holy Thursday night, we're remembering the sacredness of that moment, which he celebrated on the Passover feast of the Jewish festival. And we're celebrating this new festival of Jesus being the sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of sins, as opposed to being the lamb of sacrifice, which the Jews killed to eat for the Passover and also for forgiveness of sins. That is profoundly beautiful. Something else beautiful that needs to be thought of. There's a person called King Melchizedek, and he was in the book of Genesis. He knew Abraham, and when Abraham went to rescue his nephew, this character, King Melchizedek, comes to give Abraham a gift. And the gift he gives Abraham is bread and wine and one-tenth of his tithing. And this, what's significant here is the bread and wine. Melchizedek is he's called a king, a priest of Salem. Salem is the original name for Jerusalem. And out of the blue just gives bread and wine as an offering. Now Jesus is alluded to and referred to by Paul, the apostle, in his writings, that Jesus is the new Melchizedek. And so we see the connection of Jesus offering himself bread and wine his body and blood the night before he died, just like King Melchizedek offered bread and wine in thanksgiving to Abraham for what he did. These connections are showing something more, God's plans of something significant and very important in the Passover meal, in the Last Supper. And those kind of connections are kind of, it's by most people, are lost if you don't understand a lot of Jewish history and culture, because we just take it for granted. We just don't understand the significance of the Passover. And that's what we remember. There's so much more we remember on Holy Thursday night, but that in itself is important. There's also the other thread of Holy Thursday night, institution of the priest. Jesus gathered 12 apostles, and 12 apostles always significant to the 12 tribes of Israel. In the desert, when the Israelites complained to Moses and broke the covenant after they were given the Ten Commandments, the priesthood, which was assigned and had every right of each tribe, was taken away and was only given to the Levites. And so Jesus is restoring the priesthood to the 12 tribes of Israel, given to the 12 apostles at that night. And that's significant because you see how priesthood was only to bloodlines in the Jewish culture. Now it's to a new bloodline, a relationship to Jesus, and obviously through the apostles, the anointing, because each bishop and priest that come after the apostles were anointed in that role. So it's a very significant, important moment to remember. So the church remembers that very beautifully on Holy Thursday night.
You were listening to a Holy Thursday reflection with Father Anthony Bernard for cradio.org.au.